Donald Trump is not my savior. An evangelical leader speaks his mind about the man he supports as president. This is a new book by Dr. Michael Brown. He's our guest right now for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Dr. Brown, it's great to have you on the program.
Great to be back with you. Thank you, Jerry.
Sure. AskDrBrown.org for more information. All right, here's a quote from you. He is our president, and he has my vote. Put another way, politics is not the gospel, and patriotism is not the kingdom of God. Dr. Brown, why did you write this book?
I wrote the book especially to help evangelicals to get over the hump of saying, like, how can I vote for Donald Trump when I disagree with this and that? How can I vote for him when I don't like his personality at times? And we have to understand Donald Trump is not our savior. He didn't die for our sins. We don't owe him our life. Our loyalty is not ultimately to him. It's to the Lord. We don't worship at his altar. However, when it comes to electing a president and what a president needs to do and the agenda president has for conservatives, for evangelicals, for Bible believers, then on most of the major issues, President Trump is our man, so he gets our vote. But I'm not going to let the secular media and the left dictate things to me and tell me I have to choose between following Jesus and voting for Donald Trump because they don't like his tweets or some of the things he says at his rallies. No. My salvation is dependent on the character of Jesus, not on the character of Trump. And on the day we stand before God, he's not going to say to us, what did you do with Donald Trump? That's not going to be his big question. So I refuse to allow others to shape that narrative. So I'll shout it to the whole world. He's not my savior. You want to look at my testimony? Look at my life. Look at what I believe. Look at how I've lived for 46 years as a follower of Jesus. And then here's how I vote, and here are the reasons for it. We can make that distinction. We must make that distinction.
Okay, but there's something I don't understand. You keep talking about voting for Donald Trump. Didn't that happen 2 years ago? And it will happen 2 years from now. But what do you mean by that?
First thing is that there's constant controversy surrounding the president on virtually a daily basis. And as evangelical leaders and as individual believers in the workplace, we're confronted with this. How did you vote for him 2 years ago? Why don't you denounce him now? So that's ongoing. That hasn't stopped for a moment. But the midterms, in many ways, are a vote for or against the president. For example, if he can maintain a majority in the Senate and in the House as well, he can continue to appoint solid justices to the Supreme Court and to the federal courts. He can continue to stand for religious freedom. He can continue to push back against radical Islam. He can continue to push back against radical LGBT activism. He can continue to stand for other things that we believe are important as Americans. So in that sense, we get to vote once again for or against Donald Trump in just a little bit over a week.
Wow. Okay. And by the way, this program is kind of a timeless one as far as the midterms 2018. In fact, just to timestamp this, we're having this discussion on Monday afternoon, October 29th. And the book just came out just a few days ago, right?
Yeah, it just came out a few days ago. And what's really encouraging me, Jerry, from the readers, just the first few reviews already up on Amazon, all really positive. I take readers on a 3-year journey in this book. I take them from my earliest articles, August of 2015, opposing Donald Trump in the primaries and having all kinds of issues with him. And then saying, look, if it's him versus Hillary, then I'll reevaluate. And then going through those changes and then saying, look, I'm rooting for him, but here are my reservations. I'm voting for him, but here are my concerns. And then saying, okay, look, many of the concerns we had have been valid. He has been a guy that can be divisive and calling former employees dogs and insulting others. On the other hand, he's exceeded our expectations in many of the things he's done and the consistent stance that he's taken and been a true friend of evangelicals. So there's a whole journey that I take the readers on, and I think it's important for us as evangelicals to work these things out because we have our witness to the world that remains our greatest priority, but we also have our role in the voting booth. And if we can say, okay, first things first, the Great Commission, so America first, not quite, the Great Commission first, then America. So kingdom of God, following Jesus first, patriotism second, but this is where we live. This is our stomping ground. This is our place of influence. This is where we're called to be salt and light. And although the primary way for changing America is not through politics, it's through the gospel, politics matters. One of my colleagues was doing a talk Dr. Frank Turek was at a college campus and was asked about politics and the gospel and do they intersect. And he said, hey, look at North Korea, look at South Korea. One country has religious freedom, the other doesn't. What's the difference? Politics. So it does matter. And our votes count. Let's just keep things in the proper perspective.
Okay, excellent point. Let me ask you this, as far as Donald Trump. The media right now, as we are recording this, the media is trying to blame him for the toxic political environment we're in. We look at, for example, the crazy guy that sent out those pipe bombs, and he had an arrest record of, I guess, 10 times and terrorist charges in the past. But he sort of, you know, became all charged up as a guy who, you know, was a supporter of Donald Trump, and yet, you know, he's living in a van almost down by the river. I mean, it's a real tragedy, but he sent out real bombs. I mean, some of those could have gone up. And then meanwhile, you've got the synagogue shooter just over this weekend, and some of the media want to blame all these things on Donald Trump as if he's somehow riling up the masses. I know those are two separate issues, but we'll go ahead and unpack that. The violence that we're seeing in American life today.
Yeah, so on the one hand, you have a Trump lover, ostensibly a Trump lover, sending out these horrific pipe bombs. Thankfully, they didn't reach their destinations. No one was hurt. Then you have someone who's criticizing Trump, is surrounded by Jews, and he's against Trump. And here he murders 11 people in cold blood in a synagogue. So you've got it coming from all sides. To blame Donald Trump and say he is the cause of the violence and hatred in America today is completely off base. However, he and the media and Hollywood elite and others, they have all contributed. Everyone has done their part. And to me, as a follower of Jesus, blessed are the peacemakers, that comes first. So I voted for Donald Trump. In the midterms, I plan to vote for candidates that will stand with his policies. I would much prefer a red wave to a blue wave, and by the time this airs, this could all be history. But the point is, my first priority is, in the midst of all of this, to say to everyone, let cooler heads prevail. Let's air our differences. Let's put them out for the world to see. But let's not demean each other. Let's not insult each other. I mean, look, for the left-wing media to point a finger at Donald Trump when day and night it pounds the war drums against him and tells us he's unstable and he's out of his mind and he's a danger to the country and he's done more harm to America than the 9/11 terrorists. And for the Hollywood elites, you know, to wear shirts, you know, calling for the assassination of Trump, or, you know, saying somebody kill him, or holding up a severed, you know, a picture of a severed head of the president, bloody severed head, and then to say he's to blame. No, they're to blame as well. But President Trump could do a better job. He doesn't have to provoke things the way he does. And the violence is a reminder there's a tremendous amount of hatred in our society. I believe a lot of the identity politics of President Obama played into this. I mean, this has been simmering and getting worse for years now, and it's exploding. So rather than say that this one's guilty, that one's guilty, let's all take responsibility. Let's look at the way we talk, the way we communicate, because we each have our platforms, our families, the workplace, school, social media. Let's not just get caught up in the political fray. And that's one of the points I make towards the end of the book, Donald Trump is Not My Savior. Let's step higher. Let's get above the political fray and the insanity of the moment, and let's be people who speak wisdom and speak truth and do it with cool heads.
You know, when you think about it, you think about the remark of Mrs. Obama, where she said, if they go low, we go high. Michelle Obama, in other words, it was almost like an echo of what Jesus says, where he says, if they slap you on the face, turn the other cheek instead of striking them back. But then, in the meantime, you've got Eric Holder, the former attorney general under President Obama, saying, if they go low, kick them, you know, so the tit for tat and so forth. So there really are different approaches. Where do evangelicals fit into all this in terms of how we can be better peacemakers?
Yeah, so what we need to be known for more than anything is not allegiance to a political party or a political leader, but allegiance to Jesus. Let people know us for who we are. Let people know us for the good deeds that we do. Let people know us for the love that we have for them as neighbors. I'm committed to, if I'm flying somewhere and the person next to me is, you know, radical leftist or, you know, just a Trump hater or whatever, I'll talk to that person and say, wow, that is so interesting. I'm on the opposite side of so many issues. Share your perspective. I want to be a listener. I want to understand. When I differ, I want people to think that I'm fair. Let it be that the Bible influences us more than Fox News or CNN or anybody else. Let it be that Jesus is more important to us than anyone else. And then we can really work for the betterment of America.
All right, let me ask you this. With the FRC shooting, that was 6 years ago, where this gay activist, you know, again, a crackpot, went into the FRC building and was going to shoot everybody up, including Tony Perkins, and then smear their faces with Chick-fil-A sandwiches. What did FRC do? Well, the security guard, by the grace of God, he fought back and was able to tackle the guy, get the police there. They arrested the man. He was charged with a crime and so forth. I think he was the first person convicted of the D.C.'s domestic terrorist law that they had passed right after 9/11. But the bottom line is the people at FRC, they prayed for Floyd Lee Corkins, that the Lord would save him. They didn't, you know, they did, in effect, turn the other cheek. And I think that's an important factor, you know, like you're saying, as Christians, we need to be peacemakers.
Yeah, we just need to do better than the world. It's that simple. And obviously, you do your best to have security, and you do your best to use wisdom when there's potential violence and things like that. By all means, turn the other cheek doesn't mean don't protect your family,
sure.
Don't have a military. That's not what it's talking about in context. But look, the fact is we get caught up in the wave of the moment, the frenzy of the moment, and then when the left-wing media so incessantly demonizes President Trump, some of us feel the need to defend him at every turn, as opposed to saying, again, he's not my savior, he's my president. These things I really like, these things I don't like, here's why I voted for him, here's where I'd like to see him change. We can do that. No one should have the ability to squeeze us into their narrative or get us to dance to their drumbeat. We've got to dance to God's drumbeat. We've got to respond to his prompting. We have to act with wisdom. We need to show a better way. Because, look, America's not going to be saved by politics. America needs revival. America needs the gospel. America needs the awakening. Where does it start? It starts with you and with me.
All right, Dr. Brown, suppose you were an advisor to Donald Trump, and you could say, you know, you were asked, well, should he or should he not be allowed to tweet? What would be your answer?
I would say that he needs to have a tweet filter. I would say to him, sir, we need you to be an alpha male. We need you to be strong. We need you to be a fighter. We need you to be the voice of the people. But don't alienate many good people in the middle. Don't alienate people of conscience who want to get behind you but can't. You can't expand your base. You can make your life easier. You're always going to have your enemies, but let there be a filter. Let there be one key advisor who looks at your tweets before they go out, and the same thing with your speeches on the road. Let there be one key person that's right close to you that has your ear, that wants you to be who you are, but with a few less rough edges so that you can unify more than divide and destroy.
So no horse face, that kind of thing. Okay, we have 45 seconds left. Do you think that in the future, in the long run, that Donald Trump will be a victory for evangelicals or an albatross in the long run for evangelicals? 30 seconds.
It all depends on how we relate to him now. Right now, Jerry, it could really go either way. In other words, we're getting great victories, but at high cost. If we can show that we voted for him, but that we don't worship at his altar, if we can show that he's our president, not our savior, I think long term it'll be for our good. Otherwise, it's going to be a mixed bag.
Dr. Michael Brown, again, the new book, Donald Trump is Not My Savior, and Dr. Brown's website is askdrbrown.org. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.